to Aussie Tech Heads, podcasting live from the Secret Hub Studios on the Gold Coast, Australia. Sit back, relax, and listen for a while. Who knows? You might learn something.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Aussie Tech Heads Clickety Clicks, episode 466. How you doing? It is the 3rd of December 2015, not long to go before the big jolly man comes down your chimneys and gives us all presents. And just speaking of that, this reminded me of a funny little news story I heard through the week. Well, actually, probably not too funny because I think the man died, but it was a burglar coming down the chimney. So the guy in the house set fire, started the fire, and went pushka. Gone. There he goes. There he goes. Yeah. That's what happens when you break into people's houses. You've got to go through the front door or the back door. All right. Good stuff.
Always go the back door.
If you can, yes. I've got a story about the back door coming up. So stay tuned. Thanks to ATHwebhosting.com.au, where you'll find some great shared web hosting plans and prices and services. The world's most famous cPanel, instant activation, and you can register your domain name while you're there as well. And also have a listen out for the Aussie Mac Zone. Michael's back this week, and it's his birthday. Happy birthday, Michael. It's on iTunes and also at aussiemaczone.com.au, and also Aussie Tech Radio. I'll mention that a bit later on in the show as well. All right, let's see who's joined us this week. We've got Shane in the very, what colour is that behind you? That's like a green.
A green?
Yeah, what is that colour of your wall?
I'd go like a light beige, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm colourblind, so there you go. Looks green. I thought you might have been, that's a good, nice flat wall for a green screen.
It is. Chroma key. Lack of green colour.
You could key that in though, surely. That's nice and flat and full?
Yeah, no, I tried, but it's too close to skin colour.
Right. Yeah, fair enough. All right, how are you going? Good?
Yeah, not bad.
Good. Job front news?
Amazon didn't want me. They lost.
Oh, that's right. Well, you've named them now because I don't think you haven't let us know who you were going for yet.
Oh, no, I'm quite happy to name and shame now. They didn't want me.
Did they give you a reason?
Only that my skill set wasn't suitable. During the first interview, it did become apparent that the job that they kind of earmarked me for, I didn't have the skill set for that. But the guy said, it's not a problem. You've got the skill set for this other team that we're also looking for people for. Right. And all is not lost. And I then contacted them a few days ago. And they wrote back to me saying, no, you had the wrong skill set for what we were looking for. And then the other job, the Synergy job, I haven't heard back from them. It's been 2 weeks tomorrow. I've emailed the HR contact they had. I've rung the HR contact. I then looked at the HR contact's email and gone, okay, well, it's that's the format. So I knew who I was being interviewed by. So I emailed her this afternoon saying what's going on and still haven't heard.
So you were flush with job offers, and now there's nothing, nada, bubkis.
Yeah, well, I told you this could be one of the outcomes.
Yes. And Eric, how are you going?
Hello. I'm going all right.
Very good. And still enjoying your Surface Pro 4.
Making notes as we speak.
Oh, how good is that? So you've used it in business applications, your business?
Yes.
Yes, and you like it?
Yes.
Suits the need?
It does,
very
indeed.
Good. Excellent. I'm glad to hear that a Microsoft product has satisfied you. It's very good.
For a change.
Yes. All right. where are we up to this week? I've got a few stories this week. We might kick off. I think at the first one, what is the first one? I think it is a Microsoft story. It's all about a group of Microsoft employees from the Fifth Avenue retail store in the New York City who are seen marching down towards the nearby Apple store. Now, they were singing Christmas carols. Let me look for those on the video, on the YouTube. I might have, if I can, I might have a little video that will turn this noise down while we speak. Yeah, so, let's see if I can I give that a better, no. All right, so that's what they've been doing. So the group of So with Apple's blessing, of course. Okay, so this was all filmed. This has all been filmed for a ad, which is going to air in the US. I'm not sure about anywhere else, but in the US starting this week. So anyway, so the Microsoft Fifth Avenue retail store in New York City are seen marching to the nearby Apple store. They meet up with the local children's choir and begin singing "Let There Be Peace on Earth" on the sidewalk outside. In the commercial, alerted by the clatter, Apple employees came rushing outside to see what the matter was, what was going on. Everyone smiles and hugs and a glow of mutual admiration and respect. Who would have thought?
God, no punch-ups.
No punch. Steve Ballmer wasn't there, no.
Oh, right, okay. Didn't throw any phones down on the floor and start squirting.
Squirting? No, I hope not. Oh, I didn't know he was famous for squirting, to tell you the truth.
Oh, yeah, Microsoft Squirt, remember? Remember that thing with the you remember, dude. It was he had this thing that you know you could with a new Windows phone you could pass information off to one another via Bluetooth. You know, we call it a squirt.
Squirt. Yeah.
So you touch phones and it's a squirt.
Right. How very good. How nice.
Which strip club did he go to think that one up?
I don't know, but anyway, he was.
He's a complete tool.
Yeah, so it was. This is probably look a step in a direction that we see that the Satya Nadella, he's probably they're releasing apps, the Microsoft Office all over the iPads and into the iOS world, and one of the two companies seem to be coming together. Long way away from where Steve Ballmer had everything when he was when he told anyone who worked for Microsoft that they weren't allowed to have an Apple iPhone. Back when the iPhones came out, were all the good stuff. Anyway, so insiders believe that a deeper relationship between the two vendors could help them both in their battle against Google. It's always good to have a common enemy, isn't it?
So Microsoft have done all this stuff about putting apps over to the Apple world and all that kind of stuff, and all Apple's done is allow Eric to get a Surface.
Yes, that's right. Yes. Well, I've heard that the iPad Pro's doing a bit of freezing.
Yes,
and stuff. And look, my iPhone.
The best thing is, after charging, it doesn't start.
Great.
That's the best one. Remember, like we said last week, at least your battery will never die.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. But even my iPhone 6 is a bit, that freezes a bit.
Actually, what? I've got two iPhone 6s, right? But one of them is a bit laggy and the other one's fine. I don't understand. They're both running the same operating system, the most up-to-date one.
Hmm.
And one... you press something and you think, okay, well, that's taking a lot longer to load up. Yes. And then I press the same thing on the other one and it's just there. Bang, straight up. I don't understand it.
Well, look, I'm going to keep a close eye on mine. I might even take it into the Apple store because, I'd hate for me 2 years to come up and then, and it dies altogether.
Yeah, exactly.
But speaking of which... I wouldn't say I had a win, but well, I suppose I did in a little way. But Eric, I spoke to Eric earlier today. I was trying to do something with my cable modem, trying to put in the bridge mode to, I've got this other little Netgear router that I want to test out, and the Telstra Netgear modem wouldn't go in the bridge mode. So, this was a Telstra, Gateway Max. It was brand new. I only had it for a couple of months. But anyway, I went through all the rigmarole, India, Australia, billing, support, billing. And in the end, I just said, look, I can't get into the modem after I switch it in the bridge mode. And he said, oh, look, that's a bit of a problem with those ones. We'll send you a new one. So, because I have been having anomalies, and not just say like with, but even probably flows over into the podcast on a Thursday night when we record, because sometimes we do have a lot of issues with bandwidth.
That's true. I remember a few weeks ago that you had speeds of about 10.
Yes, I know. And every now and then when I'm browsing the internet, when I'm just doing nothing too much, like I'll go to a site and I'll get this DNS probe, no internet. It'll just come up onto the screen. It'll stay there. And this is in Chrome. And then I look up at the tab and I can see the circle still going and then the page will come up. So
that's the router. What DNS are you using on your router?
Well, using Telstra.
Get rid of it. Use Google.
Yeah, I had tried that because ages ago I had this problem for a long time. So I did try both DNSs and I wasn't having any success. But I think maybe after speaking to you how it should behave, because you have bridged your modem. So speaking to you, and now that I understand how it should behave, and it wasn't
well,
behaving.
Well, I bridged my modem and I changed the DNS on the router, not the modem.
Yes, yeah.
Just on the router to Google's router.
Yes, yeah. So, look, I think if anyone else out there, any of you guys have got a Telstra Gateway Max, I don't know, for the hell of it, why not put in the bridge mode and then see if you can access the router? And if you can't, something wrong with it, get a new one while you can. You know? But, yeah, so that's pretty bad, eh? It's pretty bad.
Oh, it's terrible. Look, it's Netgear, right?
Yeah.
They're rubbish.
Yeah.
They're absolute rubbish. And Telstra got rid of the Motorola. Was it Motorola? Who were they
Cisco.
With? Cisco.
Mm.
Oh, God, best routers in the world. Oh, we won't use those.
No, they wanted to go with the Netgear. But my sort of beef, you know, if it had a dragged on when I was talking to them, my beef was, well, because I knew they wouldn't give me support. I knew this, you know, bridging modems and everything was probably too much for the Indians out there. And I was ready to go down the track of, well, it's your modem. You don't supply any documentation on how to use it. So, therefore, I can't go to the street and buy another one to test it. So, it's your, you know, you've got to come to the party. You've got to either tell me how to
fix
this.
Or give me a new one.
That's
exactly.
Right. But, look, I had no problem straight away. They just said, oh, yeah, I just explained what I was doing. And, you know, I said, look, I'm sitting right here next to the modem. I'm plugged straight into it. Nothing else is into it. Blah, blah, blah. Did all the right things.
And you couldn't get into it?
Not after I twisted in the bridge mode. And then I reset it because that was a waste of 2 hours that I'm never going to get back again. So yeah. I reset it to configure it back to work so I could, you know, obviously get my network back up and running in the internet. So I reset it, factory reset it. That's the only way you did it. And so it came back up, no internet.
Huh.
So I had to factory reset it again. And I remember, I don't know if you guys remember, but a couple of months ago when I first got it, I rang up because I couldn't get the 2.4 gig wireless and the 5 gig wireless
That's
working
right.
at the same
yeah.
time. And I rang Telstra, go, oh, they're not supposed to work at the same time.
Rubbish.
Yeah.
What's the point of having them?
Fools. Yeah, that's right. Well, so you can use one or the other, they reckon.
That's rubbish. Who could speak there? Wazza? Was it Wazza from, or was it Carl from Calcutta?
Yeah, that was my old mate, Bluey.
Bluey from Bombay.
From Bombay, that's him. That's the one. With a Canadian American English Dutch accent.
Throw the Dutch in there.
Yes. Pass the Dutchie. All right.
Pass the Dutchie.
Okay. Shane, have you got something for us to gnaw on?
I do. I was actually, and I still might go with the Apple story that I've got since we kind of were talking about that a little second ago.
Hmm.
A reliable Apple-obsessed Japanese site, Mako Takara, claimed insider sources confirm Apple will be ditching the 3.5 millimeter port to shave off 1 millimeter of the iPhone. Instead, the iPhone will rely on Bluetooth headsets and a new audio-enabled Lightning port, which some headphone makers like Philips are already making. The iPhone 7 is also the year the phone will see significant physical change in comparison to the S years. You don't agree?
Look, it's probably true. I'm not saying I disagree with what you're saying. I think it probably is true. Wouldn't surprise me if it was true.
I didn't write the article.
But I don't like the idea of it.
Look, I was listening.
It's just a race to the bottom. It's like, oh, we've got to get thinner and thinner and thinner. Here's an idea. Why don't you just have a bit of paper?
Yeah.
How's that? And then that way we can just fold it up and put it in our wallet, and when it rings, I just get my wallet out and fucking hang on, my phone's ringing.
Well, why not?
I mean, crying out loud.
Yeah, I know.
Apple have run out of ideas. Since Steve Jobs is gone, they've got no ideas. You know, what are we going to do next year? Oh, well, let's just make it thinner. Great idea. You get a pay rise.
It is a bit crazy because where's mine? Look, I reckon I love my phone now that I've got this life-proof case. It makes it thicker. I think
it gives it something to grip.
Yes, I like it.
How much thinner can you get?
Yeah, that's thin enough. Look at it. That's with the cover on it.
I just have to fart on it and it'll break.
Didn't they already have problems with this one or the one before? Or they had Bendgate or something?
That's right.
Yeah, it was this one.
Too much break.
The iPhone 6, not the 6S.
Yeah, but look, I was listening to the Aussie Mac Zone this week, which you get on iTunes, and Garth and Michael were discussing this particular story as well. And Garth, although this is a rumour, Garth doesn't seem to think that this will come to fruition. He said, well, it's obviously going to upset a lot of people, isn't it? Everyone that's got the headphones You know,
I can't. Bluetooth is unreliable as an audio device. Look. Okay, maybe not so true. I've got Bluetooth streaming in my car, and it works very, very well.
Yes.
Right.
Yep.
But are they going to have the same quality of Bluetooth in their device and their headphones like my car has? I doubt it.
Mm.
Right. It's in the car, I mean, so you can put in a big unit in the car.
Yeah.
I don't know how big your unit is. You're going to have to have. Oh, yeah. It's all Bluetooth now, but it. I'm just sick of Apple not having any ideas. I love their products, but they're just wearing a little bit thin on me.
He's riled up this week. that's right. You need to go and buy a Zune.
Buy a Zune, get a brown Zune, and start squirting.
At least they're not getting rid of the headphone jack. But look, I don't know. I don't know if this will work. Look, at the end of the day, it probably is not a bad idea, but maybe they should phase it in. You know, so there's. Well, they've got Bluetooth now anyway.
Maybe they should do a bit more R&D on it.
Yeah, maybe stop selling. Maybe reduce the price of their headphones or something.
Look, that's the other thing too. It'll be it comes out with Bluetooth headset sold separately, $1 million.
Yeah, that's right. That's exactly right. But yeah, look. Anyway, but look, the guys at over there, Maxzone, they don't seem to think that it's going to happen. Well, Garth doesn't in particular.
All right. Well, here's another question. Mm. If they might think it's not going to happen, but do they agree? Would they like it to happen? That's the question. No point commenting on whether or not you think it's going to happen or not. Let's take a survey of actual people if they would like it to happen. That's the more important question.
I don't think anyone would say they'd like it to happen. Like, why would you?
Audiophiles won't like it to happen. They like a direct connection.
Yeah, and I mean, like, what does it matter to the end consumer if there's an earphone plug there anyway or not? Does it matter?
Well, no, it doesn't matter to us, but it matters to them because they want to make it thinner. And the only way to make it thinner is to not have an earphone jack.
Well, I suppose that's the problem. Could. But look, I don't know. I think, look, people are going to Bluetooth. Look, personally, I suppose I wouldn't probably care too much. I don't like the length of the earphone cord anyway. I find you put it in your pocket, the phone in your pocket, and then the cord's really tight. You know,
as long as it's not those ones that everyone that drives an Audi has, right? Yeah. In their ear, the Bluetooth headset. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Well, it better not be one of those.
No, well, I suppose
if it's just a little dangle thing like this,
yeah,
right, or a musician's one where you put it behind your ears, okay, fine.
Yeah.
But if it's one of those salesman type ones and they talk really loud, yeah, g'day mate, yeah, I'll do that deal for you. Yeah, I signed the papers. Yeah. Shut up.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
No, so look, it's I don't know. Like Bluetooth is good. I couldn't care less. I just don't think they should still get rid of it anyway. But, yeah, I don't think it should be thinner. But I think that's a bit of we don't really care, do we?
I care. I don't want it.
Yeah. Well, fair enough.
It's another piece you're going to lose, you know, a little headset thing. Oh, where's my headset?
Mm. Yeah. Look, I don't think they will. I think the world's reliant on the bloody
what they should have headsets. On it, if they're going to have separate headsets, little headsets that you could lose quite easily, have a little chip in there. So that you can put Find My iPhone on it.
Yes.
So if it disappears, you can just log into your phone; it'll start beeping, and you can find it.
Yep. Or you could make them. No, you wouldn't make them magnetic, so they stuck to the phone, like that.
Like the pen here.
Yeah, like your pen there.
Yeah.
That
could work.
Does the iPad pen stick to the phone?
No. No.
Is that just so you can lose it? You have to buy another one.
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Well, let's get off that. I don't know. Did I have any Apple stories? While we're there, we might as well get rid of them. I don't know if I did. Oh, yes, I do. We'll go with this one. Apple buys the virtual reality startup FaceShift. Now,
what did you say? Face what?
Shift.
Oh, Shift. That's what I thought you said.
Yeah. Everyone says that. Now, I've got another video for those on the video. I'll play this so you guys can see, you know, get a bit of entertainment out of what I'm talking about. Now, what the face shift is, this is quite interesting. Oh, no, it's not, because there we go. Now, what face shift is, and this is what Apple have bought, they're a Zurich-based firm, and they analyze human facial expressions in real time and apply them to animated avatars and other figures in the virtual reality space. So in 2010, it acquired facial recognition startup Polar Rose, and in 2013, it bought 3D sensor company PrimeSense. So it looks like that they're gunning into this space. This might be what
for what purpose? I know they own Pixar. Actually, they don't own Pixar. Steve Jobs owned Pixar, and he sold that to Disney. So I can understand them, Pixar grabbing hold of something. What would Apple want to do with this?
Look, maybe. You know, they've got their Apple TV. Their little. They might be thinking that's their little entry into the games arena.
Well, all right. Yeah, well, that makes sense. If they open it up to developers to make their own characters with it, that makes sense.
Mm.
But or they're going to start their own games division within Apple, like Microsoft has done. And this is all part of that.
Mm.
So that would work.
Yes. Look, I just want to just explain to people on the audio, because they can't see the vision here, which explains it, like, you know, instantly, is that so you're sitting in front of a camera and your facial expressions and movements of your face and your head are actually making your character on screen do the same movements and facial expressions. It's quite good. I think it's great. It looks
amazing. That. Yeah, my son's played with that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? That's great. Could you imagine playing a game and then the say, I don't know, whatever game you're playing, a shoot-em-up game, you're getting shot or something, and then you're actually going, oh, like this in real life, and your character's doing that, or you might point and laugh and your character points and laughs. That's pretty cool.
I think it's going to be something to do with messaging, because if it's the same thing or something similar, it's used in messaging and how kind of people talk to other people within either other software packages or whether it's dedicated messaging. Good. It's, you know, it allows people to do face to face stuff, but obviously they've got this character thing over their face. It's like a augmented reality thing, which is another thing that they could be using the technology for.
Well, if you are on the audio, fair dinkum, go and have a look at FaceShift. And there's a video. It's by, if you go YouTube, I don't know what the address is, but the what do you call it? The name?
Just type in FaceShift on the YouTube.
The username I'm looking at here is Be Your Avatar. And there's a couple of videos of what's going on. It's quite, I reckon it's amazing. I think it's great. Love it. Love it. Good stuff. All right. Shano.
Yes.
What else are you going to talk about?
I'm going to talk about China being blamed for something else again. Seems to be the kind of last couple of weeks we've been bashing them up for one reason or another.
So,
well, probably for good reason.
So by your tone, are you saying that you believe that it's not them?
I don't know enough about the situation to give an opinion one way or the other, but yeah, just with the submarine thing that we spoke about last time and now with this, and I just think they're getting a raw deal. Chinese are our friends.
Well, they are our friends, but even friends go around hacking, don't they, sometimes?
Yeah, true. Anyway, so to get into the story, China is being blamed for a major cyber attack on the computers at the Bureau of Meteorology, which has compromised sensitive systems across the federal government. That's our Bureau of Meteorology. Multiple officials' sources have confirmed the recent attack, and the ABC has been told it will cost millions of dollars to plug the security breach. I can't understand how it could cost that much if it's just a software
bureaucrats
thing.
Being stupid, as usual.
Yeah, because it's obviously going to be a software kind of glitch of some sort, as other agencies are also being affected again. But if it's only the one hole, then it's the one hole you've got to patch up.
I think what happened. I'm not sure if you're going to make this clear or not, but I'll make it clear now that they've hacked the bomb, the Bureau of Meteorology, and you might be thinking, well, who cares about the bomb? You know, what do they want to know when the rice is going to grow or something? But apparently the bomb is one of the country's largest supercomputers, and the attack, which the ABC said occurred in recent days, may have allowed those responsible to access to the Department of Defense through a linked network. And I think that's where it's getting a bit hairy, scary.
Oh, because the government networks are all linked. So they've hit the bomb because that was probably the least secure out of all of them.
And they've gone through the dark.
And I've gone through the weakest link to get to the strongest link.
Maybe. Sorry, Shane, interrupt. I just want to clarify.
That's that. Right. No worries. Well, I was going to kind of touch on that, and I can understand why they would, but at the same time, there's other ways other than making the two networks linked to share the information that the Bureau of Meteorology might have that the Defence Department might need. But anyway, the Bureau owns one of Australia's largest supercomputers and provides critical information to a host of agencies, which is what Glenn just touched on. Its systems straddle the nation, including links to the Department of Defence, which is what you just said. ABC has been told it is a massive breach, and one official said that it was a little doubt where it came from. In the event of a conflict compromising Australia's ability to accurately forecast weather, which I don't know whether you could say that the Bureau of Meteorology does that. Would affect the operation of military and commercial aircraft. We would be better off looking out the window going, oh, yeah, it's not raining at the moment.
Mm. Look, the thing that it does annoy me with a lot of news reports, and including this one to a certain degree, is, look, I don't like how it's always unidentified sources. Like, identify yourself. Like, why be unidentified? Is it happened or not? Are you, what are you, scared you're going to get stabbed in the night or something?
Well, even with the official, where the official, whoever that person is, said that there's little doubt. Provide some proof. At the moment, you're just throwing allegations around
That's right. Know. What's the proof? Yeah, or even if it's not like maybe concrete proof, you could say, well, you know, we've checked this, we've done this, blah blah blah. Dot point a few things and say laws of probability would suggest that it's quite likely that it's coming from over there. But China's foreign ministry dismissed the accusation, saying its government opposed cyber attacks and all parties concerned should strengthen dialogue to solve the problem in the spirit of mutual respect.
Now, talk to us.
Now, groundless accusations and speculations are not constructive, said Hua Chaying. So China's been accused of using its considerable computing resources to infiltrate online businesses for competitive advantage, as well as conducting acts of cyber espionage. And we all know about 2 or 3 years ago when Huawei wanted to come out and build some telecommunications network or something. They wanted to do something, Andy, provide the government with modems or something. And the government said, no, we don't want a Huawei doing anything out here at all because of their links to the Chinese government.
However, they're quite happy to have their phones over here. That's why I think that's a double standard in that thing. I can understand why they're reluctant about the networking equipment and all that kind of stuff, but you can't sort of say we don't trust them with this, but we trust them with that.
Well, that depends. You can put probably backdoors into the networking equipment a lot easier because they're going to be placing those routers in government departments, so you can get access to that. But, you know, personal phone that you buy or I buy, who gives a rat's ass about that?
Yeah, and, you know, I think it was on episode 2 of the Aussie Tech Security, which I think another episode's coming out next week as well. But on Roger was saying that, you know, if you need to secure up your place, and I know this gets hard, obviously, when you get Telstra cable modems, but he said you buy a modem or a router that is made in America. You don't buy one that's made elsewhere because he believes that, yes, there are little back doors in these things.
Yeah, and that's right. Well, isn't Netgear made in Taiwan?
And that was one of them that had the big question mark over it, yeah. So,
I don't know what sort of oversight Telstra has on the Netgear modems that it has made on their behalf.
Well, who knows? I know they strip the guts out of them, the software guts out of them, and put their own Telstra crapware into them. And that's probably half the reason. Well, it's not the modem's fault, but that one I've got probably works all right, but just doesn't work with the Telstra software in it.
Yeah.
They probably like stripped it and bastardised it so much.
Did you do any Google searching on bridge mode, Telstra modem, model number, blah, blah, blah?
No. No,
you
look.
Probably should have. That forum, Whirlpool forums, would have probably come up with with either an answer or similar complaints.
Well, I think, look, I didn't want to waste my whole day on that, on this problem. And so I just wanted to know initially, that's when I rang you, I wanted to know what should it do, you know, when it's in bridge mode. That's what I want to know, what should it do? And if it didn't do that, I want another one. And that was it because, like, yeah, I'm not interested in a fix. I just want it to work. And if the second, and then I, you can, and because I can't swap them in and out, you know, another one in, because I, you can't get them except you get them from Telstra. Well, I think if I still have the same problem tomorrow, then it might be a trip to Whirlpool. So, yeah, see how we go. All right. Now, okay, so China, we've done China. Naughty, naughty China. Oh, here we go. Mark Zuckerberg of Facebook's made a video. Nice little.
Do we want to see it? Do we care?
No, we don't care. We're not going to see it. It's not a nice little blow and smoke up his own backside. And his wife made a video on Tuesday. They're going to give away 99% of their Facebook shares, currently worth about $45 US billion, to a charity, the Human Fund, probably. to a charity.
Oh, that's hilarious.
In a letter addressed to their daughter Max. Okay, every report keeps. I looked at a few reports of this story. Daughter Max, is this Maxine or what?
It'd have to be Maxine. And that's such a bogan name, Maxine. That's like, where are you? From the Central Coast?
There goes our listeners from the Central Coast. Just all dropped off.
Yeah, so, China went 5 minutes ago.
That's right. Now, anyway, Max, their daughter, who was born last week. So on the Facebook page, Zuckerberg posted a photo and a video of himself and his wife, Priscilla. Hey, hey.
Queen of the desert.
Oh, thank you very much. And their new daughter, along with a post entitled, A Letter to Our Daughter. Oh, it's a big...
Oh, God, you know, this is cheesy. Come on.
Isn't it? What? It's a 2000... It's a 2000...
Because you've got $45 billion, doesn't allow you to be cheesy.
It's a 2,220-word letter. Zuckerberg and Chan touch on issues including health, education, internet access, and learning before announcing the Chan Zuckerberg Initiative, which aims to advance...
Oh, really? So when she reads the letter, you better hope she doesn't fall asleep before she finishes it.
Just before she finishes reading Dear Chan Zuckerberg Initiative.
Yeah.
Which aims to advance human potential and promote equality.
Give me a break. So he's doing all the PC cliches, right? The politically correct cliches. Oh, I got to throw that in there. Throw a bit of transgender acceptance in there. Throw a bit of gay marriage in there. Mm. Throw a bit of equality in there. That'll make it look like I'm just the nicest bloke in the world. Go away. You stole Facebook from four other people. Give me a break.
And what about he didn't touch on privacy, though.
No, of course not.
He left that one out. Oh, but he wants privacy with the new baby.
Yeah, for himself. Oh, that's why he puts everything on Facebook with a video, because he wants privacy. Mm. It's not all these fame-hungry pseudo-degrade celebrities. I just want my privacy, but are there cameras out there yet? Oh, I'll come out now.
Yeah, that's right.
Give me a break.
Lara Bingle, you reckon?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Go to an opening of an envelope.
That's right. Oh, did you hear? There's a. Oh no, that's getting off track. I won't go down there. It's off track.
Go there.
No, we're just off
before,
track.
No, well, before we move off the Facebook thing, and you can do your thing. This 99% is not going to hand it over or get rid of it straight away. It's going to be over
their
lifetime.
Yeah,
and the charity
he's trying to be Bill Gates. That's what he's trying to do. He's trying to be Bill Gates.
Yeah, well, the charity they're talking about is his own charity that he's just revved up. So he's not losing the money. He's just basically giving it to himself.
What it is, you get a $45 billion tax deduction, so you never have to pay tax again for the rest of your life. But at the meanwhile, you still have control over $45 billion because it's your charity. I know how this works.
Hmm. Yeah, so are you saying that, okay, so the charity gets, say, I don't know, for argument's sake, say $45 billion, right?
Yeah, over time. Just call it a billion a year for 40 years.
Yeah, so then he goes, okay, I think the charity should invest in virtual reality.
So the charity, charities have certain very conservative ideals. They have to because it's a charity, right? So they can't do any speculative crap. So then it'll be the normal invest in this, maybe, you know, that charity will then probably donate money to, you know, this sort of research or that sort of research. That's fine. But most of the stuff will be invested in equities, probably. You know, that's safe, fairly safe.
But
equities, bonds, cash, that sort of stuff.
He can't get the money back, though.
No, he can't get the money back. So you can still control the money.
But he's
right? For example, I want to hire my wife to work for the charity. I'm going to pay her $2 million a year.
Yeah, right. But do you think? But he, if he's going to give 99% of it away, he's still going to have a truckload. Do you think that's, and like even not paying tax, say, because it's written all off, do you think, is that still a motivation? Like, That's just greed for greed's sake. Do you think?
I think there are two sides, that, and I think those both sides motivate.
Hmm.
You know, the motivation to do something good.
Yeah.
And the motivation to think, well, I can get something out of this too.
What do you think, Bill Gates Foundation?
I think he's a different story because Bill Gates never made a big hoo-ha out of this.
No.
Right? He just started his foundation and then a few years later everyone goes, oh, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Oh, it's got $60 billion in it. Oh, well, bugger me.
Yeah.
You know, and he made it. And he does, you know, when his kids were born, he didn't make a video and write a 2,000-word letter, right? That's a wank. Right? And he wanted privacy for his kids. No one even knows what his kids look like.
Mm. No, well,
and they're all grown up.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, same with Arnold Schwarzenegger. No one even knows what his kids look like and they're all grown up and he's loaded.
Yeah, right.
He probably doesn't even know what all of them look like either.
That's right. We know one of them looks Mexican.
Right.
But,
see and Donald.
But Bill Gates, he left Microsoft specifically to run his foundation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he's donated all that money to cure malaria and AIDS and all these other things.
Polio.
Bits and pieces. Polio, all in Africa, and most of it in Africa.
Yeah.
And so he's actually travels the world constantly with his wife, going to these places, donating money, helping doctors, educating the children, blah, blah, blah. It's all, you know, and that's a real foundation, right? Mm. Now, how this one's going to go doesn't bode well when you start publicizing, I'm gonna.
Mm.
As soon as you say I'm gonna, we're thinking, well, put your money where your mouth is, right? Don't say anything until you've done it.
Because
I don't like anybody. I hate it when people say I'm gonna.
Yeah, true. Well, I think he, good on him anyway for doing it.
Well, look, if he does it, good on him. But let's see.
Yeah, okay, fair enough.
Putting in the eating. For example, when that tsunami hit 10 years ago now, probably.
Oh,
the tsunami hit Bali and Malaysia and a few other places, right? Boxing Day tsunami, right? Nicole Kidman, which I think is an atrocious actress.
I thought she was all right.
Yeah. No, seriously, you watch her. Oh, mate. Wooden.
Right? Yeah, okay.
Dumb as a post.
That Stepford Wives, that was the crappiest movie I've ever seen.
Most of her movies are rubbish. As soon as that thing happened, a few days later, she made this big announcement. I'm donating $10 million to the foundation, blah, blah, blah. She never did it.
Yeah, okay.
Right? And I'm thinking, don't say I'm gonna. Just do it and shut up. If people find out about it, then they find out about it. You know, do the Kerry Packer thing.
Hmm. But maybe.
You know, when he used to donate money, he used to say to them, if you open your mouth, I'm not giving you a cent.
Yeah.
No one is to know I'm giving you money.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
And that didn't come out until he died.
So you don't think this might have worked the same way with Nicole? You don't think she's done it under the table for him?
Then why would you announce it? If you did it under the table, shut up about it.
Yeah, okay. So she's announced it, and because it hasn't been, say, followed up or whatever. Yeah,
you look like an idiot.
Well, that's no good.
No good. This is why I'm a bit sceptical of Zuckerberg, because he's, number one, how he started Facebook has always been questionable.
$10 million is a lot of money.
Yeah, $10 million. Yeah. Well, she got. Don't forget, she married Tom Cruise and got half of everything.
Mm.
The only reason she's loaded is because she married him, not because she's a bloody good actress.
Yeah. Do you think, when she said ten, later on, she's gone, maybe I just should have said one.
Maybe she meant 10 million. You know,
Indonesian
pesos.
$10 million Indonesian, which you can get from an ATM.
Yes.
Actually, $10 million Indonesian is $1,000.
Well, I'll tell you something that she should be thinking about buying, and it's something pretty cheap. And
acting classes?
And something. Yeah. No, she's going to the wood workshop for those. And
obviously not a fan.
Oh, I don't mind her. I like her.
I think she's atrocious.
Oh, look, I liked.
Kate Blanchett is a much better actress.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know. I liked Moulin Rouge. Didn't you like that?
No.
I saw you grimace when I said that.
So far in the show, we've lost our Chinese viewers. We've lost our New South Wales coast viewers. We lost the Hollywood viewers are now gone. Right at the beginning of the show.
No, we haven't lost them. They're cheering in the background going, oh, thank God someone said it finally.
But anyway, what I was getting at with the she could spend the money on is the new Raspberry Pi.
Yeah, $7.
$7. How's that going? So it's the cheapest one yet.
How many of those can you buy for $10 million?
Quite a few. Now, thanks to overclocking, it should be around 40% faster than the last model, which was about $45, something like that, $50, something like that. Now, this is about $5, so it's about $7 here. There's also, it's also got 512 mega RAM. It's got a micro SD slot. It's got a micro USB socket, or sockets, and a mini HDMI cable capable of transferring 1080p 60 video. Well, it looks pretty good, doesn't it? It's got a Broadcom PCM2835 application processor, 1 gigahertz ARM 11 core. So it's looking pretty good. I know Will has bought the Raspberry Pis in the past, so and he uses them as TV things, you know, media centers. So, I wonder if Will's going to invest in a couple of these. For $7, you can't go wrong. Look, this is all the rage. Like, there's heaps of groups. If you go up to that meetup.com, you'll probably find little groups around your area if you're interested in building and using these little fellas. There's meetups here on the Gold Coast for the Arduino boards and stuff, and you can build your own little electronic things, and they'll show you how to do it and all this sort of stuff.
I don't have the time.
Relatively cheap. I know here in Mudjabar, just next to Rabina, they've got one that runs over the school holidays for kids. You know, and you buy the kids the Arduino boards and everything, and they go away and they teach them how to build hardware, software stuff. So it's good. Good stuff. Don is good. All righty. Shane, what else?
Can you see my video, by the way?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
Are you circling at your end?
No. Sorry to interrupt this, we're off track here. You know, if you're on Skype, if you put your mouse over your picture, you can turn your video on and off.
Oh, right.
Right. I don't have that button.
Oh.
Yeah, it's bizarre. Mm. I've just got a plus button for add participants.
Does that plus button do screen sharing?
Yes.
Maybe it's the group chat thing.
Yeah, and I can turn off. Oh, no, there it is. That's it.
Oh, you're off now.
There you go. Okay.
Is that your
widescreen? Ooh.
Is that your gamer tag? For the Xbox, that dude.
What is it?
Looks like
that picture.
Yeah, Skype avatar thing.
Yeah. That's the one.
All right, Jane, take us away.
I will. Toy maker VTech leaks millions of parents' emails and child photos in latest massive breach. Interactive toy maker VTech has confirmed hackers have accessed private data, including names, email addresses and passwords of, as well as some of the mailing addresses and download history. The company claims that no credit card data was stolen, but it seems that multiple headshots of parents and children are now in the wild due to the breach. An anonymous researcher discovered the trivial exploit that allowed them to export over 4 million individual parent records and about 280,000 child records. Further, the researcher found that over 2.3 million headshots, 190 gigs worth, on the server. Jeez. The researcher explained that they used an SQL injection to dump the data from VTech servers and that the entire process was trivial and could have been performed by actual hackers in the wild. This means that the breached data could be available publicly. Security researcher Troy Hunt was able to confirm that the data did come from a number of VTech customers and that it does reflect some version of the company's customer database. Further, he confirmed that that there were 4.8 million parent records in the dump, as well as 227,000 odd child records. No SSL anywhere. All the communications, this is the researcher, the communications are over unencrypted connections, including when passwords, parent details and sensitive information about kids were transmitted. The company released a statement confirming that no payment details were stolen and that they humbly apologised.
So, okay, so what's the answer here? Is it so obviously you get an SSL, quick smart, but is that the answer? Like, should every web page who collects any type of data just be SSL?
that would go a long way to helping. And also it looks like that they're probably, I don't know what sort of back end that they had, but for argument's sake, say they had WordPress, it would, that would indicate that they're probably using not the latest and greatest version of WordPress. So it looks like there was vulnerabilities there that allowed the SQL injection to happen.
I know I get say attempted hacks on me in the web hosting server there, the admin control panel that I use. And sometimes I'll see a new user that's registered, and then in the address line it'll have all this SQL code. And so, yeah, they're trying to crack in for what, God knows, an unknown reason. But I know this stuff just trawls around the internet looking for openings. It's not actually targeted. But thankfully, yeah, the software I use, as soon as an update comes out, I'm snappy straight onto it and upload it, because you don't want a situation where, you know, you've got bloody customer data just floating around all over the joint. You know, no good at all. But, I mean, yeah, so what did they have here? There were 4.8 million parent records. That's a lot, isn't it? That is
quite a lot.
That is a lot. All right. So, look, moving from that on to Telstra. Oh, if you're looking for an iPhone 5S, go to Telstra.
Bob's your uncle.
If you don't want to shell out for the new latest and greatest 6S, why don't you go to Telstra? And I'll tell you why. You can buy this is outright, you can buy from good old Telstra an iPhone 5S, when they're in stock, an iPhone 5S, the first phone to feature the ID fingerprint reader. It's a great camera, better than the iPhone 5. It was a huge surge in quality based over the iPhone 5. Now, it probably will update to the iOS is probably for another couple of years, you would think, maybe 1 or 2 years.
They just hope that their software updates don't render it buggy and slow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, look, that's the only issue with the older iPhones.
I've still got my five. It still goes okay.
And yeah, I've got my 5 here as well.
The 4 is a bit slow, but it still goes. I still know people on 4. I still know people on 3, believe it or not.
Oh, really?
But not iOS 9, obviously. But
I think 3 only goes up to iOS 6 or 7.
But anyway, get back to these phones. Yes, so Telstra's got them on sale for $4.99, 16 gig space grey.
And the equivalent in Apple?
The equivalent in Apple, and I don't understand how this is possible, but the equivalent in Apple is $7.49. That's a great, massive difference. And
that's Aussie dollars you're talking there?
Yes. Yes. That's a massive difference.
Yeah, look at that. Ooh, $300.
So, which would that's funny, isn't it? $7.49 in the Apple store, in stock. $4.99 Telstra store, out of stock.
Yeah, wonder why.
but is this? Do you think that is Telstra buying these phones for?
Or they advertising it, and they're not really. They don't really have them. You know, like bait and switch. You go in there and go, well, you know, while you're here,
you might as well
just buy the iPhone 6. You know, mate, don't worry about it.
But they wouldn't do that, would they?
No, of course not.
Nah, they'd be in trouble. They'd have the. they'd be getting the evil eye thrown over them by whoever it is, ACCC.
Of course, they would never do the wrong thing.
Yeah, I don't know. But anyway, if you're looking for an iPhone 5, go to Telstra. 5S, go to Telstra, and you might be able to pick one up for pretty cheap.
You keep talking. I want to see if they're available at the moment.
No, well, I took that screenshot before.
I'm just going to have a look, have an update.
Okay.
All right, just relax.
No, nothing to see here. Okay. What else you got there, Shane? Anything else?
I have got – it's the week for, like, breaches and vulnerabilities. Privacy vulnerability exposes VPN users' real IP address. A major security flaw which reveals VPN users' real IP address has been discovered by Perfect Privacy. The researchers suggest that the problem affects all VPN protocols, including IPsec, PPTP, and OpenVPN. The technique involves a port forwarding tactic whereby a hacker using the same VPN as the victim can forward traffic through to a certain port, which exposes the unsuspecting user's IP address. This issue persists even if the victim has disabled port forwarding. port fail, which is what it's called, affects VPN providers. So it's not actually like, you know, your own router's VPN kind of that you might do at home or at a business. This is the public VPNs that people might pay to use to, you know, hide where they are and get access to the state's media and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So port fail affects VPN providers that offer port forwarding and have no protection against the specific attack. The only requirement is that the attacker has port forwarding enabled on the same VPN network as its target.
Ooh.
A phishing link or laced image file, for example, is then sent to the victim, which leads the traffic to the port under the hacker's control. PP discovered that 5 out of 9 prominent VPN providers that offer port forwarding were vulnerable to the attack. The company has since notified the affected before disclosing the vulnerability publicly. To mitigate the attack, PP suggests that VPN company to mitigate the attack, PP suggests that companies should implement firewall rules at the VPN server level in order to block access to forward ports from real IP addresses.
But why can't these people use their skills for good instead of evil?
No money in it.
Oh, what's happened to you?
What happened there?
Oh, nothing. You're back now. You're all right.
Does it sound all right?
Yeah, you went really loud. You nearly blew me head off. Okay.
I think everything's working for a change.
It sounds to be. Now you're a little bit soft. You might have to just turn up a bit.
Hello there.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of Telstra, they've got a... I don't know if you've been looking on their website lately. If you've got your own phone...
Yes.
Can you hear me? Is it too loud?
No, no, you're on. I thought you called me lady.
No, but if you've got your own... No, if you haven't looked at it lately, yes. Lady. If you've got your own phone...
Yeah.
For $60 a month...
I know.
Unlimited
talk. I know.
Right? And 10 gigabytes.
I know. I was alerted. My mum alerted me to this.
And your mother? She's right onto it.
She is because she found
she's
another
a tech
one.
Freak.
Yeah, she found another one. $40 a month with something like 5 gig and $1,000 worth of calls prepaid.
Yes, it is. That's the other one. $40 you get 5 gig a month and $1,000 worth of calls.
This is the last time I'm bloody going on
a
plan.
You know, this is their old Christmas run up.
Oh, it's the last time I'm going on a plan. I'm stuck playing bloody.
What did you get? You're better off just getting a. Buying the phone outright and going, I'll have that one.
Well, I know. But at the time, the best deal was the get on a plan, unlimited for whatever, $100 a month.
See, the thing is when the phones get released, that's what they do.
Yeah.
They get rid of all their good prepaid deals.
Mm.
But that 10 gig one, it's a plan, but it's just a month-to-month plan.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Month-to-month, BYU, just bring your own mobile. It's just like going on a plan. But you've got your own mobile.
Yeah, get out of it. Hang on. Get out. Okay, good. Sorry. Sorry about that.
So,
yeah, you're right.
Very good.
You're right. I just had the dog come in. And I've got the side of the computer open, as you do. She's wagging the tail, and it's wagging all inside the computer.
Oh, good on her.
So she had to get out. Otherwise, we could have been taken straight off the air. All right. Yeah, so look, it looks like Telstra's got some good deals going at the moment. So get down there and have a look. Look, as I mentioned earlier, ATH web hosting, but also the Aussie Tech Radio, 24/7 shoutcast stream, which is just an audio stream. You come in at whatever time you come in, you just get whatever's on the rotund, and you can have a listen. It could be anything from any show, top quality shows, Australia, New Zealand, it is. So jump on AussieTechRadio.com and have a look. You can get it through things like TuneIn Radio, through that app, or there's instructions on the website there on how to get it. But get into it because it's got some, you know, there could be some shows you never would have thought about listening to before, and all of a sudden you go, oh, gee, I like that show. And then you can, you know, subscribe through iTunes, or if you've got the Bluetooth in your car, just start streaming as you're driving along. You know, you don't have to look for a podcast and play it and all that. That's too much of a hassle. Just AussieTechRadio.com. Way to go.
Now, oh, check this out. Oh, Glennie, you'd love this.
What are you doing?
Oh, dear. Telstra prepaid, right?
Yeah.
Prepaid. So it's the first month you get the dongle as well, right?
Right.
But it's for the first month, it's 6 gigs of data, right?
Yeah.
Including dongle. $79, but it's an in-car Wi-Fi. Plug it into your lighter.
Oh, nice.
How good's that?
That's pretty good, isn't it?
Plug it into your lighter. You got in-car Wi-Fi.
Yeah,
six
nice.
6 gigs for the first month, and it's prepaid, so you just top it up when you run out.
Can you light your cigarettes with it? Does it heat up at the end?
Heat up at the end. Hang on a minute. I'm just lighting my durry off my Wi-Fi.
Yes. Yeah, nice.
This week's episode is brought to you by Telstra.
That's right. Hey, Telstra, listen up. Give us some money.
Yes. So you sound like you're in the market for one of those, Eric.
That's pretty good. Yeah, well, I don't know if you can drive and surf at the same time, but yes, passengers can.
Passengers can, that's right. And maybe you might want to be downloading something while you're driving, or you might be streaming an Audible book or downloading an Audible book while
you're
driving.
That's right. And you know who will buy this? All the Uber drivers.
Uber.
Free Wi-Fi in the car.
Mm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, good thinking.
How many bloody Uber, how many customers do you get if you say, including free Wi-Fi? You go, right, I'm using you.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Take me to the shops. I just want to make sure they got milk, yeah.
Right.
Now, have you ever heard of this thing, this song, if you want to call it that, but it's titled 4 minutes 33, so 4:33. Now,
no.
By a guy, an American experimental composer, John Cage. Now, the track goes for exactly 4 minutes and 33 seconds, and it is total silence. And that is
yes.
it.
Yes, so why is that music?
So, why am I talking about total silence? Because SoundCloud has come under fire for removing a track with no audio due to copyright infringement.
How is that copyright infringement?
Someone has copyrighted nothing.
Someone has copyrighted silence.
So what I think happens is, what is happening is that as the story goes on, there's a guy, Nick Ward. He's the CFO of a music site, Your EDM. He said that automatic copyright detection technology has reached an all-time low. Instead of paying to keep the musicians' music protected, this is a quote from Nick Ward, instead of paying to help keep musicians' music protected from false copyright claims, SoundCloud took the easy way out and will remove your music just based on the title of the track, he wrote. So SoundCloud has finally turned its back on protecting their content creators in favour of saving a few extra bucks and absolving themselves of liability at the hands of the labels, major labels. So because this guy, his name was DJ Detweiler, guy or girl, who I don't know, but this is the track that was pulled. It's a remix of a conceptual silent track. So it was a remix.
A remix of nothing.
Yeah. Well, I tried.
That is ridiculous.
Look, and apparently it was taken down just because it was titled that 4 minutes 33. So that's what they're complaining about, because they're not, say, investing in actual algorithmic software. They believe they're just, because you're title it the same as something else, you're automatically disqualified, you're gone.
So Adele's in trouble then, because her hello is the same as Lionel Richie's hello.
So she's very big trouble.
Right. Especially in the beginning.
She's in massive trouble.
Oh, massive. She's going to get it.
There's a good, I don't know if you've seen on YouTube, but there's a good video, Adele, when she was known as Jenny or something. And
Jenny from the block.
Where they did the impersonators, yeah.
Yeah, they had a room full of Adele impersonators, like auditioning for the role of Adele. And Adele was one of the impersonators, and she came in with this accent, Cockney accent or whatever, and, you know, and then she was acting like, she going, oh, I feel faint and sick, I'm pretty nervous in doing this. And she got up and sung, and the girls were watching, the other auditioners, just going, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God, OMG. So, yeah, that's all right, pretty good. But anyway, getting back to this silent track, look, I went to look for it because I wanted to listen to silence. You know, there's too much noise in the world. I wanted silence. I wanted to listen to some silence, but I couldn't find the that's not it. I couldn't find the actual track. I found the original, John Cage.
How could you find it? You can't hear it.
Yeah, it was on YouTube. It was just nothing. It was silence.
So pathetic.
But anyway.
What's next?
But look.
What's he going to say? Kim Kardashian's got talent?
Yes. But look, I just wanted to even just show you this, because this is how crazy stuff gets in this world. Because I found an audio of one of DJ Detweiler's remixes. Now, this was also removed from SoundCloud I've got ads coming up on the page. Now, this was also removed from SoundCloud because it was in. I can't even see because there's an ad over it. It was entitled. When he uploaded it, it was titled Miley Cyrus Breaking Wall. So apparently that was close enough to Wrecking Ball. But let's have a listen to some of DJ Detwiler's talent, shall we? And then you'll wonder why this was ever taken down in the first place. You guys hear that?
Yes.
Okay, now we'll just zip forward a bit because it's about 40 seconds before it. Okay, so it starts off nice. You think, oh, yeah? Okay, you can probably see why this gets taken down. In a couple of seconds, the remix starts. Another 20 seconds. Now tell me if you think this was worthy of a takedown. Some good work here by Detwiler, DJ Detwiler.
I do.
Oh, God, that's so obvious.
That's rubbish. That's rubbish. That's rubbish. Whoa.
It's not quality, but it's exactly the same tune, which is why it was taken down.
It wasn't taken down because it was copyright infringement. It was taken down because it was crap. SoundCloud didn't want nothing to do with it. But anyway, that was just funny. I thought I'd listen to one of his remixes, and that's all I got. That's what I get for going off on a tangent, I suppose. Okay. You got any more, Shane?
Oh, no, geez. I'm done.
Look at the time. Thank goodness. It is time. I've got one more. We'll get into this one. Las Vegas Man. Everyone loves Tinder, don't they? Anyone use Tinder? I've never actually used it. But Las Vegas Man sues Tinder sues Tinder date for genital herpes. The man who has been listed as John Doe in court papers has sued a Hollywood producer he met on Tinder who allegedly gave him genital herpes. He is seeking $10,000 compensation. So he's not a happy camper by the sounds of it. Reimbursed lawyer fees, punitive damages for claims of battery, constructive fraud, fraudulent misrepresentation, willful misconduct, intentional inflection of emotional distress and gross negligence. Whew, that producer's in a lot of trouble.
If you met a bird in a bar and she had something, who are you going to sue then?
Yeah, oh, that's right. After a couple
it's
of...
All Tinder is another way of meeting people.
Yeah, well, he's actually suing the girl, the lady. So after a couple of unprotected sexual encounters, he received a phone call from the woman explaining that she had a herpes breakout, which included genital blistering.
Okay.
She might have got it from him.
That's right.
Well, may have.
She can counter-sue.
But interestingly, and similarly, in Rhode Island's Department of Health said cases of syphilis grew by 79% between 2013 and 2014, while HIV went up 33% and gonorrhea up by 30%.
What are they throwing it about over there? Just throwing it around.
They're throwing it about on Tinder. That's what they're doing.
Tinder's like if you went to a dirty, dirty bar, that's Tinder.
Yeah, well, you'd have to be off, you know, you have to watch what you're doing, wouldn't you? Like,
yeah, you have to dip it in disinfectant.
Yeah. Look, I think if you're going to go and have, you know, unprotected sex, I think that's the risk you run. That's the dice you roll. That's what
exactly.
Like, if you don't know the person, well, that's just the dice you roll. But anyway.
Exactly. Regardless of where you meet them.
That's right.
Right? And if you're not going to put on anything to stop anything from happening, then doesn't matter where you meet them, you're going to get something.
Apparently she convinced him that she was clean because he was apparently a germaphobe. And so...
Well, he'd be freaking out right now then, wouldn't he?
I know. And apparently she convinced him that she had nothing wrong with her because she said, oh, look, I've got a hospital in LA named after me and all this sort of stuff.
The communicable diseases wing.
That's right. She forgot that bit. She left that bit out. All right. Well, what a great note to end on. watch where you're putting it. That's the advice.
That section of the podcast was brought to you by Duracell. Oh, what's it called? Clean it. What's the bloody condom company called?
Chlamydia.
No idea.
I don't know.
Same as mob that make sticky tape. Durex.
Yeah, Durex. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. Something like that.
Like Duracell, sorry, the battery people.
Duracell, yeah. You know, that's for the other implement.
That's right. I was wondering where you're going with the Duracell. Like, never-ending power, you know. the Duracell bunny. Oh, that's the Energizer bunny. All right, let's get out of here. Look, how's the lounge? Look, lounge, I haven't tuned in tonight. What's going on? Yeah, oh, look, you've been quite active in there, haven't you? Yeah, good stuff. All right, we might read those after the show and see what's been going on. All right, so thanks, Shane, for coming in.
No worries. Well,
at the rate you're going, we're going to see you next week.
Yeah, I'll be applying for long service leave soon.
Okay. Thanks, Eric. See you next week as well.
You're welcome, mate.
No worries. And we'll see you guys next week. So don't forget the Obsidian Loft and the Old Fart Geeks podcast. Obsidian Loft had one out the other day, and Old Fart Geeks, I'm sure there's one due pretty soon. But subscribe to them in your iTunes and you'll never miss one. All right, so until next time we meet, it's goodbye from all of us and it's goodbye from me. So till then, bye-bye.
Aussie Techhead is produced by The Secret Hub and recorded on the Gold Coast, Australia. Please visit our website and take part in our discussions forums at www.aussietechhead.com. Views expressed in the preceding audio do not necessarily represent those of Aussie Techhead or The Secret Hub. Thank you for downloading and we'll see you next episode. Bye for now.